Oh, hey, I almost didn't see you there. We're busy celebrating our 50th episode. That's right, guys. We're also going to try to exorcise some demons on this episode. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
How are you now, Colts fans? Sorry, I already had to switch up my glasses. I legitimately could not see the computer screen in front of me. It's not good eyesight. It's not good. Zach's going to stay in there with us, though, I think. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. This is Jake Arthur alongside Zach Hicks, of course, and you know the two of us from HorseshoeHuddle.com. Zach, happy 50th, brother.
Man, you know, it feels like it's even been more episodes with you. It is draining working with... No, I'm just kidding. I'm loving it, man. Honestly, I didn't even know we were coming up on 50 until all of a sudden I went to the mailbox the other day and... and saw this thing that clearly cost you more to ship it to me than
it's true
to actually purchase. But man, 50 episodes. I mean, time definitely flies, and you guys have done so many great things for us. Like I said, you got us over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. You guys have got us to great places on Apple Podcasts and everything like that. And I think you know, we're only just starting now. So this is not only a celebration for the first 50, it's also for the next 50 and honestly the next 100. I think we're going to be doing this for a long time. So this is a nice little celebration, and I will keep my glasses on because my only good feature is my eyesight. So I might as well keep the glasses on.
Yeah, they really highlight your purple eyes. It's beautiful. Yes.
Hey, purple is the color of royalty, and you were clearly thinking that when you sent me purple.
Yeah, RIP to the Queen of England. That probably was happening at the same time. But no, to echo what Zach was saying, you know, we've been at this for about 2.5 months now. And I was just kind of looking at some of the numbers. You know, some of the other Locked On hosts were talking about their numbers compared to last year. You know, from July 1st last year to September 15th last year compared to now, we're up 328% in traffic. So you guys must be enjoying this. We're enjoying making this for you. So All the mushy stuff aside, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. We'll catch you guys up to speed with what's going on with the Colts as they prepare to exorcise these demons this Sunday in Jacksonville against those Jaguars, of course, which includes some pretty unchill injuries. Let's just be upfront about that.
Definitely.
We'll also preview this one from a fantasy perspective, especially because of these injuries. It's real iffy. And then we'll give you our final thoughts and predictions. So, Zach, of course, the injury report came out about an hour ago as of the time we're recording this. Michael Pittman downgraded to did not participate Thursday. Buckner remained out Thursday. And Kenny Moore also downgraded to out on Thursday. So that's your number one receiver who just had 121 yards. 1,000,000,000% of the wide receiver receiving yards, basically. Yes. Your all-pro three-tech defensive tackle and your Pro Bowl slot corner, a guy who plays 100, not just a slot corner, he plays 100% of the snaps. Really the only silver lining in it all is that Alec Pierce got in a limited participation, which is a step he needed to check to get out of the concussion protocol. He'll still have to do a full session and then be cleared by an independent neurologist. And then Shaquille Leonard, he logged another full session as well.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know this is awesome. This is great news. Seeing three Pro Bowl, you know, All Pro caliber guys missing a Thursday practice.
Hold on, I forgot the best part. The best part of it all is that Jacksonville has zero injuries through 2 days. There's not a soul on their injury report through 2 days. See,
they definitely sold their soul to the devil to get that. Because I don't know, could the Colts ever go 1 week without having an injury on the injury report? Even going into the first week game, we had a couple guys on the injury report. So, but you know, I do think at least Michael Pittman Jr. and DeForest Buckner will end up playing in this game, although. I put this on social media earlier. You know, it is concerning to see two of your, I mean, if you were probably to put like the top five most important players on this Colts team, those are probably two that are in that top five, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. and DeForest Buckner. To see them dealing with injuries right now already going into week two, that's concerning because even if they do play in this game, you know, you might be considering them at like 80% going into this game or 70% going into this game. And then they play this game, and then what are they going into week three? And then what are they going into week four? What are they going into week five? You know, so it's concerning to see it already happening this early in the season. Now, you know, I'm not saying that this is, you know, DEFCON 5, like, you know, we're super worried and all of a sudden the Colts are going to get blown out. But it is definitely concerning and something to keep an eye on because we're not talking about, you know, backup players or anything like that. We're talking about star players and starters and at very key positions. So DeForest Buckner, Michael Pittman Jr., Kenny Moore the second, those are some of the top players for the Colts. But you know, for me not to hype on the downside stuff, Shaquille Leonard getting another full day of practice. I know Frank Reich mentioned that in his you know, his press conference yesterday, that they wanted to keep seeing full practices from Shaquille Leonard, seeing how he feels. It does seem like it's trending a little more optimistically this week than it did last week. I still don't know if it's like a full go for Sunday. Shaquille Leonard did talk to the media today, and it didn't seem like he was giving the full go, but it did seem like he was saying, like, you know, we'll see. Like, there's a better chance this week than there was last week, and having back-to-back full practices is a great sign for Shaquille Leonard. So, even if Michael Pittman Jr. is limited, DeForest Buckner is limited, Kenny Moore the second might be out, at least they might get their all-pro future Hall of Fame linebacker back. So, I mean, that, you know, we could be pretty good about that, I guess.
Yeah, always a silver lining to all that. I agree. He, you know, he said he feels better this week than last week, but it still did feel like there was a bit of an air of maybe a one more week or something. You know, I don't know how they're doing it, but. It wouldn't be uncommon, like you mentioned, you know, Buckner and Pittman could still play. We saw in 2018, T.Y. Hilton pretty much didn't practice for like 2 months, and he played all the rest of those games. So under Frank Reich, guys can sit out practice and still play if they're healthy enough to practice or play, but just don't want to run them down in practice. Speaking of T.Y. Hilton, that's actually our next note here. A little subtlety from the Colts almost. So T.Y. Hilton has had they have these player banners hanging outside of Lucas Oil Stadium. One of them, of course, has gone to T.Y. Hilton. And his now says, thank you for the memories across from it, which it previously did not up to recently. So it seems like a pretty good indicator that he's not coming back. I mean, he was a free agent anyways, but whether that door is closed or not, it doesn't seem like he's going to be back with the team. So it seems like they are subtly saying sayonara on that front. So, man, yeah, it seems like not only Hilton, but probably the whole veteran receiver thing in general is probably kaput.
Yeah, and I will share real quick one of my favorite T.Y. Hilton memories is I remember I was a kid really getting into football, and I guess I was like a high school kid when this was happening, and I remember watching a random game. It was Florida International versus, I think, Louisville is who it was. And T.Y. Hilton went off for 2 scores. Florida National pulled off the upset. And then I remember a couple months later, my best friend growing up was a big Colts fan. And I saw they had picked T.Y. Hilton in the draft. And I was like, I remember that guy. He was the reason why Florida International, a random school, beat Louisville. And I remember being really excited about his prospects with the Colts. And obviously, he turned out a nearly 10,000-yard career with the Indianapolis Colts. Just an outstanding football player and a class act through and through. If this really is the end of T.Y. Hilton with the Colts, I know you can probably even say more about him, but just for me as from an outsider looking in, just a phenomenal player. And it was just amazing to watch. I mean, I only really covered his 2018 season, which was his most successful season that I saw. But that was just one heck of a year, and he did so many great things for this organization.
Yeah, for sure. He was definitely one of those heart and soul players. Like, he's been their leading receiver over the last decade. To see his chemistry with Andrew Luck was really something special.
Right.
Like,
right.
It, and you knew it was true because he never really duplicated it with anyone else. And he played with several other guys, Phillip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett, Carson Wentz. It just never was really the same as with Andrew Luck. Those two together was just special. And yeah, there was a lot of memorable things, you know, the comeback against the Chiefs in the playoffs, you know, that right. Andrew Luck gets the big feather in the cap on that, but T.Y. Hilton was an enormous part of that comeback as well.
Yep.
He had all those games in Houston, and gosh, just the list goes on and on. So he's definitely a player that I'll always remember if this is indeed the end. But yeah, you can't replace the ghost. And before we move on to our next segment talking about fantasy, we want to talk to you about Turo. They are the world's largest car sharing marketplace. I like to think of it as Airbnb for cars. It's a pretty cool concept. Luckily, I've got a car right now, but if I didn't, Turo would be the hookup. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across from the US, Canada, and the UK. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic luxury car for a special event like a birthday or holiday. Maybe you just want to find an affordable economy car if you're just on the budget and need to get from point A to point B. You can test drive that new electric vehicle that you've had your eyes on as well to see how it fits your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can actually deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Ditch those boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. All right, Zach. So I know you're not a big fantasy guy, but you can lend an important hand in this because you actually know these players and you can expect certain performances from them.
Right.
So we'll start from the top here with Matt Ryan. I was going into this game thinking the Colts could really be advantageous and attack this with the passing game. I don't love it with Michael Pittman potentially being out. But, you know, they allowed Carson Wentz, who got roasted by them twice last year. He just went off for 313 yards and four touchdowns for almost 30 fantasy points. So if you're saying Carson Wentz can do that, then certainly Matt Ryan can. I don't know, especially if Michael Pittman's not going to play, I'm going to be a little more cautious about starting Ryan in this one. Not that he couldn't have an efficient game and take advantage of some things, what the defense gives him. But as far as big gaudy numbers goes, I'm not willing to really bet on that one.
Yeah. What did Matt Ryan have last week? I'm like, what, 350, a touchdown, yeah, a pick, and a fumble loss. I don't know what that is for fantasy. Is that
good? So 350 is like 10 points, and then you add the touchdown, 16, take away four for the two turnovers, so 12. That's not great for your starting quarterback.
Okay. Okay.
So the yards are great, but with that many yards, you would normally see more touchdowns.
Right, right. And if Alec Pierce makes that catch, or Ashton Doolin makes that catch even, then yeah, we're talking about a phenomenal fantasy week against the Houston Texans. But yeah, for fantasy, I think I'm going to stick on the same thing I said last week. I think he's, you know, a borderline quarterback one, more of a quarterback two type this week against the Jaguars. I do think there are some matchups to exploit, which we'll talk about with the skill position players. And Tony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars gave me some great insight and stuff that I was able to look into after I had the conversation with him on yesterday's podcast. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of Matt Ryan, in terms of fantasy quarterback, I do think that's more of like, you know, if you are in a two quarterback league, I think he's a fine second starter, but you probably don't want to roll with him if you're in like a 10 or 12 team one QB league.
I'm already going to have to do that because I had Dak Prescott on my roster. So I picked up Matt Ryan for my replacement. So whether I feel comfortable with it or not, it's happening. So of course, this obviously means Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines are, if you're going to bank on anyone for the Colts, these are probably the two guys you want to do it for. Jonathan Taylor, regardless, because you probably drafted him number one overall.
Yeah.
And if it's week two and you're not starting your number one pick, there's probably an issue with you. But Nyheim Hines as well, of course, is a pass catcher. Last week with the Commanders, Antonio Gibson and JD McKissick, they caught 10 balls for 98 yards. And, you know, if those two can do it, Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines are just as capable of matching that, if not a little more. And especially if, let's say, Pierce and or Pittman, one of the two are out, I think Matt Ryan's going to rely on those running backs to be catching passes throughout the day. Actually, I think Hines and Taylor, they caught 10 last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I will tell you guys, in one of my two fantasy leagues, one of them's a 10 team league, the other's a 6 team league with my wife and my couple friends.
Six.
It's a blast. God. It's a blast. Everyone scores 160. It's amazing.
Okay.
But in my family league, the 10 team, or it's either a 10 or 12 team league, full PPR. I am starting Nyheim Hines over Cortland Sutton this week. I am confident in Nyheim Hines because Tony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars gave me some great insight on yesterday's podcast. He told me that the Jaguars deploy a lot of those, you know, 260, 270, 280 outside linebackers that aren't great coverage. Yeah.
That's
too
big.
And you could see it last week. Antonio Gibson had an amazing catch on a – it was like a – I want to say it was like a running back, like post route, even, or a running back corner route, like sail route. I think sail route is the way that I want to describe that. It was like a sail route out of the backfield. Antonio Gibson, great, like 20 something yard catch to get them in the red zone early in that game. And I was watching that play and a couple others, and I was like, Nyheim Hines, if they really want to get him involved in this game, could have a huge game. And especially if they're going to split him out wide into the slot, like we saw a little bit in the fourth quarter of last week's game.
Mm-hmm.
I really think this could be a game for Nyheim Hines where we could see, you know, set like 6, 7, 8 catches for like 70, 80 yards. So if, you know, for fantasy people, I know that's a one heck of a day for a running back, especially if the Colts do want to, you know, they might be looking at that film after week one and saying like, yes, it's awesome that we were able to come back, but we don't want to see Jonathan Taylor at 31 carries every single game. So maybe they do try to get Nyheim Hines a couple more carries in this game. So you could be looking at like a 7-catch, 80-yard game in the receiving department for Nyheim Hines, plus maybe like a 5, 6, 7, 8 carry game as well. So I think Nyheim Hines is a sneaky good start. And, you know, take it from me, someone who's not a fantasy expert, but I am starting Nyheim Hines in one of my leagues in the 10 team league. So I know that's not a super deep league right there. I am starting Nyheim Hines because I feel pretty confident that he's going to be a big part of the game plan, especially Michael Pittman Jr. and or Alec Pierce miss this week. I think Hines will become just a huge part of the game plan.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have him in half my leagues. I think I'm starting him in one or two this week. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with that as well. He's just a great matchup for him. Of course, Taylor, if they want to get him involved in the passing game as well, he can, of course, do damage. So, receivers, let's say you're setting your lineups and you don't want to touch it till Friday or something, you know?
Right.
I kind of like Paris Campbell in this one, man.
I like him too.
You look at the type of receivers that did well for Washington last week, it's Paris Campbell, man.
It is. It is. Yeah. It's very Paris Campbell. I'm glad you picked this up. Cause again, Tony Wiggins was talking about this yesterday on the podcast. Mm-hmm. The guys who beat them were those run after catch guys that, you know, Jahan Dotson, who could break down a guy in space. A lot of man coverage stuff, especially in the red zone. And Jahan Dotson was able to kill them twice for touchdowns. Then Curtis Samuel and a lot of those catch and run type situations underneath. That just screams Paris Campbell to me, you know? And especially where going into week one, Matt Ryan, you know, we had so many quotes where Matt Ryan was telling Paris Campbell, like, oh, this is going to be a career year for you. And, oh, we're going to get you involved. And, you know, obviously a big camp like we always expect from Paris Campbell. But there was a lot of stuff where it was like, oh, Paris Campbell's going to be involved. And then week one came and he was kind of a decoy for a lot of the week. You know, it was a lot of Paris Campbell pulling the safeties for Michael Pittman Jr. over the middle. And Michael Pittman Jr. is always going to get his. Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor are going to get theirs. But I do think this week is lining up well for Paris Campbell week. Now, maybe if you're in like a 16 or an 18 team league is where you would start Paris Campbell, or maybe if you're doing like daily fantasy or, you know, bet online, you want to do like an over under with Paris Campbell. Hey. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You know, a little foreshadowing there, but I think that makes a lot of sense. But I do think Paris Campbell is a name to watch this week and maybe a guy you want to scoop up before waiver wires come next week, because you know, he could have a pretty good week against the Jaguars.
Yeah. That's I was just looking through him, and the only guy I had confidence in, as long as he gets the ball, was Campbell. Yeah, that includes the tight ends. But last, looking at the Colts defense, on paper, they're a defense you want to start most weeks. But when you look at last week and what they've been able to not do against the Jaguars in recent memory, I'm avoiding them this week. I mean, they're usually a good play, but I can't start them with any confidence.
Yeah, fantasy defenses, I think, come a lot to, and my limited experience with fantasy, it comes a lot to turnovers. So if DeForest Buckner,
and sacks,
if DeForest Buckner and Shaquille Leonard both play, then I'm feeling a little bit better. But if one or both of those guys are out, then yeah, I'm definitely not starting this Colts defense against the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You know, those inner demons. But guys, I did just mention it, so I really do want to tell you all about Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games, now second week's games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and even golf. Are you trying to put that on?
There's no good way to wear these over glasses.
Despite the tie and being on the road this week, the Colts are actually 4-point favorites this Sunday against the Jaguars, according to Bet Online. Do you feel confident in this Colts team in Jacksonville? Then go put all your money on the Indianapolis Colts. I might go the other way with this, but we'll see.
I cannot recommend enough not putting all your money on the Colts.
Maybe put some money on the Jaguars, so either way, you're feeling pretty happy. Yeah. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And before we jump into our final segment of the week, before this Jaguars game, I also really want to tell you guys about home field. The Colts don't have a home field advantage until week 3, but you can get a home field advantage whenever you want to if you go to homefieldapparel.com and check out their new Colts collection. That is right. The apparel company out of Indy has their new 6-piece Colts collection that's red hot right now and flying off the digital shelves. They've got 2 t-shirts, a hoodie, a crew neck, a pair of joggers, and a pretty sick jacket. I know Jake personally just got his wife a couple nice things. I'm definitely going to buy my wife some things because she keeps trying to steal this, you know, one of the only things I wear. So if you guys don't want to see me shirtless on this podcast, then yeah, I'm definitely going to buy my.
That's your next bet right there.
That's the next bet right there. Yeah, we might draw some viewers in. It's football season. So, you know, our wives are definitely trying.
Here we go.
No, but you guys know it's football season. Our wives are trying to get in the Colts spirit, so they're trying to get their home field apparel right now. And you know, that's the case for a lot of people. So go to homefieldapparel.com and get your items for 15% off at checkout by entering promo code LOCKEDONCOLTS. All right, Jake, let's jump into our final segment. I guess it's kind of our final thoughts before we get into Jaguars week. And it's kind of weird because last week it was like a whole week of all Texans week. And this week, you know, we've had the Jonathan Taylor interview. We've had a lot of Texans review. So we haven't really had too much to talk about this Jaguars matchup. So what are your thoughts going into this game? And do you think the Colts finally exercise those inner demons?
Yeah. So I'm going to give them a win regardless, because I think they would be capable of losing ugly. We saw it like last year in Arizona. They had no business winning that game, but they somehow managed to do it. They'll be in less dire straits. Let's say all the guys who missed practice Thursday are out. They'll be in less dire straits still. The thing that really gives me concern, though, is the depth at those spots where they're missing guys. You know, DeForest Buckner, who's going to be your 3 tech? Tyquan Lewis? That's probably who I would use, but Byron Cowart is the next guy on the list. Kenny Moore, you know, they just brought up Tony Brown. I mean, hopefully that would mean Isaiah Rodgers gets more snaps. But
will he see a defensive snap this week? Will Isaiah Rodgers Sr. get on the field for defense?
Right. I mean, with how much Trevor Lawrence shredded them last year, I would hope one of their biggest ball hawks in the secondary could see some action. Yeah. But Pittman and or Pierce being out, you know, it's Ashton Doolin and Paris Campbell time then. It's going to be a struggle. I think it'll be a 1-score game. I'm going to give it 23-20 to the Colts.
Yeah, I went similar on yesterday's podcast with Tony Wiggins from Locked On Jaguars. I did 28-24 Indianapolis Colts. If I were a betting man, which I'm only sometimes because of Bet Online, I'm not a huge betting man. But I would stay away from the Colts in this one just because, you know, it's funny. I don't believe in curses. I don't believe in hexes or jinxes, but there is just something about the Indianapolis Colts in Jacksonville. You know, when I was – the last time they won in Jacksonville was 2014. I was a junior in high school when that happened. So it's been a long time. And as I've said before, I think that giant 400-yard rushing game before the Colts won the Super Bowl in 07 was in Jacksonville as
it
well.
It sure was.
That Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, where they each had over 200 yards rushing.
I remember it well.
That was in Jacksonville as well. It's just there's something about the Indianapolis Colts playing in Jacksonville. It just spells bad things for the team. So I kind of want to say like, oh, this is must win, so they'll come out and win. But they had the most must-win game ever last year in Jacksonville, and they came out with an absolute dud. So I don't know what to expect going into this game. All I can say, and I said this a lot throughout this week, and I've said it on social media and stuff like that too, is when you look at this game, the Colts have to come away with a win. They cannot go into a game against Kansas City with two non-wins against the lesser teams in their division. Because they got the Chiefs coming up, then they got the Titans. I think that – is that a home game? I can't remember if that's a home game or if that's away.
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a home game against the Titans, and they got a couple other tough games after that. You really cannot go into this Chiefs game already kind of behind the eight ball because it only gets harder from here. I mean, if you're struggling to stop Trevor Lawrence this week, what's that going to be in week three against Pat Mahomes and what is the best quarterback in all of football? This needs to be a game where if you really have playoff aspirations or you have Super Bowl aspirations or, you know, all chips in, you have to come away with a win this week. You know, we can excuse week one. Week ones are always weird. I mean, the Denver Broncos outgained the Seattle Seahawks by 200 yards and they lost. The Tennessee Titans outplayed the Giants and they lost. Week ones happen. You know, it's just how it always is and it's weird. But week two, a divisional opponent against a team that you should beat, you can't drop this game. This is a game they can't afford to lose. And I don't want to throw out must win this early in the season, but with who you see coming up on the schedule, this feels like a must win for the Colts.
Yeah. And you bring that up and they would say, you know, we've started in a hole before. We've started 1-5. We've done this and that before. That can't be a point unless you're at that point. Like you can't enter that saying like, oh, we'll be fine if we do this. Like that needs to be uncharted territory for you. That needs to be unthinkable. And like you said, this was supposed to be an easy cakewalk start out hot part of your schedule. This is LSU starting out against Coastal Carolina or something, you know, like that's what this was supposed to be. And so far you're 0-1. It still feels like a loss. I want to say 0-1 last week, but you have to win because you're probably going to lose against the Chiefs. And then the Titans, we know the Titans can.
It's a rivalry game. It's essentially a rivalry game. It's been a tough rivalry game the last couple of years. So, you know, again, this is an area where they struggled in years past. This is a chance to get over those inner demons because again, you have tougher matchups ahead. And I know the Colts are not looking ahead at all. They're not overlooking the Jaguars. They never have. They just always have struggled in Jacksonville. It's never been a fault of overlooking them. It's just been they've come out and been beaten. And for me to put some more stats to that, I put this on social media earlier. The Colts, since 2018, I think are 37-29 with two playoff appearances. The Jaguars are 15-50. And the Colts are 0-4 in Jacksonville in that time. So four of the Jaguars' 15 wins since 2018 have been when the Colts have gone to Jacksonville. And the Colts have been outscored by 45 points in those games. So these games haven't really been particularly close either. It's been a point differential of around 10 points every time. So the Colts really need to come out and they need to have a statement win. Not just a statement for the rest of the division, but also a statement for themselves being like, look, we can actually beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville. We can take care of business against a team that we should be taking care of business against. So this is a huge game for all of us, I think, just to see what kind of Colts team this is. Because if you drop this one, I can't imagine what it's going to look like in week three against Kansas City.
Yeah, because, God, like they just tied, and it wasn't really, it wasn't the worst tie or non-win in the world, but the people were out in full force, you know,
right,
wanting heads to roll and everything. If you lose such a winnable game again, it really is going to be some sort of curse or whatever. We're entering spooky season, so this is not a great time. The Colts can enter spooky season on a high if they win this game. So
right.
Well, the last thing to do is to play the game, guys. So that's it for us today. Make sure you stay with us throughout the matchup as well as right after the game. We'll give you our instant hot takes. And God bless the Colts. And, man, let Jesus be with them this Sunday.
Make sure you're following our pastor, Jake Arthur, here at Jake Arthur NFL on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Zach Hicks 2, and the Locked On Colts Twitter account, at Locked On Colts. You can subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Again, we're at like, I think, 1,200 subscribers. We're trying to push that as high as we can go. So keep subscribing to the YouTube channel. And wherever you listen to your podcast, rate, review, subscribe, leave us a favorable review. If you guys have some negative things to say, we take those as well. We try to respond to everybody, so please send all your comments and feedbacks. And thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We'll catch you guys next week.
On the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.